A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, May the 24th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the Zimbabwe Grain Millers Association has filed an urgent chamber application at the High Court against the Agriculture Ministry in dispute of the issuance of permits for maize importers granted to independent importers recently. We hear from their lawyers.
We filed an urgent chamber application at the High Court on behalf of Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe. The respondents in that case, the Minister of Agriculture, Mechanization and Irrigation Development.
As Africa celebrates Africa Day tomorrow, some city of Harare residents in suburbs like Budiriro say they are upset with the incessant power cuts by ZESA without prior notice.
Electricity is indeed a challenge because mostly you are having electricity like in the middle of the night. You wake up in the morning, there is no electricity, it's already gone. During the day, it may become for about an hour or so, and by the time you go to bed, there's still no electricity.
And we hear from our listeners on their wishes for Africa Day and as they greet their families. And as usual, we have the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo. The Zimbabwe Grain Millers Association, through their lawyer Tonderai Batasara of Mpanga and Batasara attorneys, has taken the Agricultural Minister Joseph Made and others to the High Court, seeking a reversal of the decision to award maize import license to independent importers recently. This follows the castigation of the move by the Grain Millers Association for maize importers to import maize, especially in the Matabeleland province, where it is now being sold cheaply or given free, saying this is driving local producers out of business. Parliament has condemned the move. We hear more on the issue from lawyer Tonderai Batasara.
We filed an urgent chamber application at the High Court on behalf of Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe. The respondents in that case, the Minister of Agriculture, Mechanization and Irrigation Development, and other three companies that were issued with permits to import maize meal. There's Ben Bound, there's Bajaji, and there's, I think, Klein Cash, and then the Attorney General. Basically, what we are seeking is the setting aside or the suspension of the operation of those import permits on the basis that the issuing of those permits violated in 68 of the Constitution, which deals with administrative justice, and also the right to food security threatened under Section 77 of the Constitution, as read with Section 63 of the Constitution, which talks about access to information, because my clients were denied information that they were requesting from the minister regarding these permits that he issued, without consultation at all of the key stakeholders.
So when do you expect that your case will be heard?
We expect to get a sit-down date sometime next week, from Tuesday the 27th, during that week, 27, 28, 29, where the case should be heard at the High Court.
That was Tonderai Batasara of Mpanga Batasara Attorneys, the lawyer for the Zimbabwe Grain Millers Association, speaking to us from Harare. As Africa celebrates Africa Day tomorrow, some city of Harare residents said they are very upset, especially those in suburbs like Budiriro, where they are saying they are getting incessant power cuts by ZESA without prior warning. One such resident, Mrs. Priscilla Mhlanga, says business has declined and most families have now gone back to using firewood for cooking and gas, which is now becoming expensive. Efforts to get comment from ZESA were unsuccessful. Mrs. Mhlanga tells us more.
Electricity is indeed a challenge because mostly you're having electricity like in the middle of the night. You wake up in the morning, there's no electricity, it's already gone. During the day, it may become for about an hour or so, and by the time you go to bed, there's still more electricity. Around 12 midnight, electricity comes, of which you can't really wake up to do much. By 5 a.m., electricity is gone.
So how are you coping in trying to cater for the family when the electricity is so erratic?
It is a challenge, but I've had to resort to gas. So I'm using gas power. I have to buy a gas stove, so at least with the gas, just make sure there is gas in the tank.
And do you get any notifications from ZESA of when they are going to be turning off?
For what? Notification comes here and there. I think I don't know what would be different then. A notification comes here and there. But it's actually a surprise when there's electricity. You want to find out where is the default today.
We are looking at the Africa Day holidays tomorrow. So how are you going to cope with you and your family during this holiday?
So as far as power is concerned, it's actually more like an event. We don't really look forward to having anything. Even the television, the kids have to resort to the laptop, you know, just watch some cartoons to entertain themselves. But as far as this is concerned, I don't know, maybe they'll help Messi on us and give us some power this holiday. But it's really unlikely they have to resort to our gas and firewood.
So does electricity availability affect your business?
Yeah, for the cakes, yes, it does. Because when I want the electricity, it's not there. Sometimes they have to then cancel orders. Like before, I had the gas oven, so they have to cancel orders for clients because there's no electricity. So, but now with my gas oven, at least I have a fallback.
So what would you urge ZESA to do for especially the residents where electricity is very erratic, like you said, there in Budiriro and other areas? What's your word to ZESA right now?
At least if they can avail electricity, the like time that we need it, not like in the middle of the night. Middle of the night, most people are asleep. So if they can just say for area A, for A, Budiriro, there's electricity between 2 and 3, between 2 and 4. So, you know, I'll do my ironing, I'll do my cooking, I'll do everything between 3 and 4. 4 o'clock, they won't be electricity. And then for games, you will have electricity from 4 until 6. And then people, we can actually plan accordingly to know that this time there will be electricity, so I can do this. But this time there won't be electricity. You can give us notification.
That was Mrs. Priscilla Mhlanga, a resident of Budiriro, speaking to us from Harare. Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Tinodiwa Zambe Makoni, one of the 30 Zimbabweans joining us in Washington this year for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Tinodiwa, thank you so very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Now, of course, I can call you Tino. I think we're friends now.
I'm going to go right ahead. I think that'll be easier for the listeners as well.
Of course. Now, Tino, tell me how you felt when you found out that you were one of the chosen few.
Well, for that moment, I was a little stunned. It was like, wow, this is awesome. And then a few seconds later, it was realization that, oh, snap, okay, I've got to really work harder now and actually represent properly.
You are the co-founder of Comixposed, which is the Zimbabwe Comic Book and Digital Arts Convention, and also Macanimation Creative Studios. Can you tell me more about that and what exactly this is?
I've got a degree in animation, so I'm a comic artist and animator by nature and, well, by profession. Came back to Zimbabwe, and of course, that's what I wanted to do. But unfortunately, it didn't take me long to realize that there is no such industry for that here in Zim, let alone Africa in general. So I took a back step, and I created Macanimation Studios, which was meant to be just a design and animation studio. And from that, I also launched my first comic book publication, which I put out, which was the first Zimbabwean action comic book. We don't have Superman and Batman here. Well, we've got Superman and Batman, just not ours. So that was the first one. And then I started teaching animation. I met a friend of mine who became the co-founder of Comixposed, and we set out to do the first comic book convention to actually get artists in Zimbabwe and later Southern Africa.
How has the response been as you're talking about having African superheroes, which I think is totally amazing?
Well, my journey on that road started when I published my my first one because I tried to base it as much in Harare and Zimbabwe as much as possible. So a curious reaction happened when readers would pick it up and they'd say, oh, this guy's actually from Zim. Oh, really? Okay. And they got very excited about that because all the characters were named, which things they could relate with and so on. It really showed me the great void that there was. So at the convention, it was like that same reaction, but multiplied. Now we had 7 awesome characters that we were showing to everyone. We were ranging from Shona to Ndebele characters using our national heritage, and also one of my characters who's like a canine from 2,000 years after Harare has been destroyed, and like that's the basis of their culture.
How hard have you worked to make sure that people understand that you can make this your professional life?
Well, as you would know, in Zimbabwe, there's a very narrow pathway, shall we say, for professionals, particularly parents, and the systems that are there lead you to go into the more recognized professions, the lawyers, doctors, accountants, even politics. So things like music and art are all on the fringe. And because of the way things are operating right now, a lot of those things aren't respected enough for them to have enough corporate buy-in. So my journey has been very long, not just mine, but that of all the friends that I have around me who are in the same profession. It's been hard to get to this point. But over time, you're seeing a greater and greater, greater acceptance of it. And it's sort of like as we become more globalized, the need for local work has just become more apparent. Every couple of days or months, someone will ask me, why don't you make a Tsuru Ngudo animation? Tsuru Ngudo, for the listeners, is the baboon and the hare, shall we say? It's like a traditional folk tale. So people want to see that represented on the screen, in comics, on new media.
And speaking of buying into what you're doing, you, of course, will be here where, you know, something like Comic-Con happens yearly. What's your expectation?
Coming to America, the hopes would be that I get to see where a comic industry functions properly. Everyone knows that that's the heart of some of the greatest characters and stories that are out there with your Marvel, your DC, your Image, your Wildstorm, all those companies doing that. And I would hope that being there and seeing where it works, how it functions, getting to actually see it in person and maybe get more info while I'm there, meet people behind what we read, because we want to get the final product. We don't know how the industry works. I'll be able to take that knowledge back home and, shall we say, replicate and enhance and adapt it to work in Africa.
And last but not least, I'm sure there's someone young who loves comics. What's your message to them?
Well, my message to them is that I've been doing this since I was in grade 7. So 12 years old, have been drawing and loving it. And I think I'm a more sane person for doing what I love than not doing it. So my message would be continue to follow it. There's a reason why something so unique has been placed in your heart and in your mind.
Tino, I want to thank you so very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Tinodiwa Zambe Makoni, who is the co-founder of Com Exposed and Mechanimation Creative Studios. And he will be one of the young fellows coming here to Washington, D.C. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next time.
That was Tatenda Gumbo with a very inspiring weekly youth forum. And in sports news, we are looking at the cricket tour of Zimbabwe to Pakistan currently underway.
Well, my name is Dean du Plessis. I am a freelance cricket commentator, analyst, writer and reporter in Zimbabwe. And for those who don't know, Zimbabwe have gone on a rather interesting tour. So they are currently, as we speak, in Pakistan, where they will be playing Pakistan in 2 T20 internationals as well as 3 one-day internationals. So this obviously is a momentous occasion for Pakistan, because the last time Pakistan had an international cricket team in their country was back in 2009 when Sri Lanka toured Pakistan. But unfortunately, the trip was cut short when militants shot at the bus that the Sri Lankans were in, injuring several players and killing a few people as well, killing the driver of the bus. So since then, Pakistan has been declared unsafe to play cricket in due to the ongoing problems that they have had in the country. However, Zimbabwe have accepted Pakistan's invite and have gone across for a very short tour that lasts from the 22nd of May up until the 31st of May. Very, very brief, very short. All the games will be played in Lahore. in Pakistan.
What about Pakistan? What do they need to prove by having Zimbabwe touring their country and playing their national cricket team at a time when most countries are saying their country is not safe?
Well, what it means for Pakistan is that they are not desperately trying to show the world that it is still safe or that it once again is safe to play cricket in Pakistan. And obviously to ensure that the bigger countries, the likes of Australia and England and Sri Lanka and so on, will go back to Pakistan. Because remember, Pakistan have been playing all their cricket in the United Arab Emirates. That's where their home has been based for the last 6 years. They don't want that anymore. They want the world to know that it is safe to play cricket.
What do you think Zimbabwe cricket gained from this tour?
From a Zimbabwean point of view, many people question why Zimbabwe want to go and play cricket in Pakistan. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, there were 23 people who were killed in a bus in the city of Karachi. So many people are still skeptical that it is safe for Zimbabwe to tour Pakistan. Zimbabwe, well, obviously, I suppose it's a bit of an interesting situation. Many people say that the players have been offered a massive financial incentive to go and play cricket in Pakistan. Whether this is true or not, well, I suppose we'll never know. People would just say that for Zimbabwe, it'll be nice to try and get as much game time as possible because they have not been playing a great deal of international cricket. So that obviously will be good for Zimbabwe. But now, whether the intentions of Zimbabwe cricket are pure or not, many people say that Zimbabwe cricket were just after the finances of, and obviously they knew that they were going to get quite a bit of money because they sent their players there. Now, again, whether this was true or not, that is up to you, the listener, to decide. Whether we'll ever know or not, well, I suppose time will tell. But for now, let's just focus on the fact that Pakistan are very, that the spectators and the fans, and indeed the players of Pakistan, are very happy to have international cricket back in their country again. And as for Zimbabwe, well, the more cricket they can play in different conditions, the better it will be for them as a cricketing nation.
That was cricket commentator Dean du Plessis giving us his view on the cricket tour by Zimbabwe to Pakistan from Harare. And now we hear from our valued listeners on their views on the upcoming Africa Days holiday, which is on tomorrow.
Especially Tafumani, I would like to say hi to my husband, Memory Tafumani, who is in the UK, and also say hi to my mom, Tishetia Zawi, who is in Blawayo. I both love them so much. And also my daughter, Chantal Gumbo, who is at School Gnostics Academy. I wish them a happy, happy Africa Day, and if only we can just work so hard so that Africa can rise to greatness.
I'm Kuzanai Tuwai. Yes, I'm in South Africa, Polokwane. I stay in Polokwane. In Polokwane, I'm working here in Polokwane. I'm a builder. In Zimbabwe, I come from Harare. And I want to say to my mom, have an Africa Day, and to my wife here, and to my kid, Prince. My mother is on my raw area at Chiwota, under Marondera Road, this much, at Marondera West. I want to say to my mother, Cecilia Tuwai, Mwarave ni Africa Day ni ya TV. Mwarave kukumburirai. It's very precious to be with you, my mom. And to all my Zimbabweans, as Africa Day, and I want to spread a message to all the Africa. Let's unite as Africans. How good and how pleasant it would be.
Those were our valued listeners sending out their greetings on Africa Day tomorrow. And there we had also the music of Bob Marley with Africa Unite, calling for all Africans to unite. Unite for the benefit of your children. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. And now we bring you our top stories as we come to the end of our bulletin. The Grain Millers Association has filed an urgent chamber application at the High Court against the Agricultural Ministry. And as Africa celebrates Africa Day tomorrow, some City of Harare residents in suburbs like Budiriro say they are upset with the incessant power cuts by ZESA without prior notice. And would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday evening, May the 24th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a happy Africa Day tomorrow, a pleasant evening, a very good night and a great week ahead.